Blog Talk Radio.
My Heart Podcast, the show that we talk about life's problems that may break or tear a heart's apart. I'm going to try something. Forgive me for doing this. I didn't plug up a certain feature, so that way I don't have to get up. I'm going to go ahead and plug this in right quick. Blessedly, there are no technical difficulties. The problem was just with the operator. Me. I should have plugged this up. But, like the young folks say, it's all good. It's all good. Welcome to Rick Name My Heart Podcast. Matter of fact, while I'm thinking about it, see if I can find a remote control. Well, anyway, it'll be all right. Well, welcome to Rick Name My Heart Podcast, the show that we talk about life's problems that may break or tear a heart's apart. On Reconnect My Heart, we discuss God's answers to life's problems to reconnect our hearts back to the way He originally made us. I am your host, Brother Prater. I'm so glad y'all are able to join us. If you have any questions, comments, if you just want to listen to the show, feel free to call me at 516-453-9118. That's 516-453-9118. or you can listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/reconnectmyheart. Find my remote control. And got it. Yes. Also, just in case those who may want to see the video version of Reconnect My Heart, right now it seems like I'm having a little problem, but fret not, we're going to get it situated. But for right now, you're able to listen to us. You can go to any podcast platform or distributor. We are on there. Just look for Reconnect My Heart podcast. And after this episode, I'll say within 12 hours, there will be the video version I'll be able to upload on my YouTube channel, Brother Prater. So just in case you can't see the video version right now, fret not. You'll be able to see the video version of Reconnect My Heart on my YouTube channel, Brother Prater. So I want to thank each and every one of y'all for tuning in. And thank y'all, thank y'all, thank y'all so much for y'all prayers, love, support. First of all, I want to say Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the men that are on there, that are fathers, regardless if you are biological father, a stepfather, you can be related by blood or related by love. Happy Father's Day to you. This day is so important, and what I'm going to do, I did get a chance to speak at church today, and I'm going to have this episode. It's kind of catered and it's kind of catered to a particular person that's near and dear to me. But I want to first speak about the importance of fathers. Fathers are so important, and especially the right father. I know there are some people, if you look at it, no, we can't pick and choose what family we were born in. But us as adults, we have a responsibility to make sure that we are prayerful in the decision that we make pertaining to who we date and also who we marry. Unfortunately, sometimes there are some people, they end up, of course, doing things outside of marriage where they end up having a child out of wedlock, and there are problems that may occur where some people call it baby mama, baby daddy drama. But that's why it's so important for us as the adults to really be careful and prayerful in us choosing who we end up allowing to be our children's mother or our children's father. Like I said, oftentimes the children having to deal with the consequences of the choices from the adults. The adults make the decisions, but the children end up dealing with the consequences. And so it's very important for us to be able to be prayerful in the decisions that we make. And so now, speaking about fathers are important. Unfortunately, there's a lot of fathers, they may be absentee from the child's life, but for those who are stepping in, that are really being there for the children, regardless if they're theirs or not, thank God for them. They're valuable. Men are important for the men to give input and speak life to the children, speak life to that boy, speak life to that girl. It is so important. You know, I was saying earlier that children look for validation through their father. Children look through validation. Children look for validation through the father. Either, like I said, biological father or stepfather or some type of father figure. You know, I remember as a kid, when I first started playing the drums, I started playing when I was about 4 years old. And there were some that, oh, I can't stand the way that boy play. Oh, he needs to work harder. He not good. But every time I would see my daddy behind a pulpit, he would always look at me and give that thumbs up. That thumbs up meant a seal of approval from daddy. Regardless of what anybody else said, as long as daddy was pleased, that's all that matters. And so, just leading up to it, this episode, I want to dedicate and pay tribute to my hero, my friend, my just about everything, mechanic, fix-it man, even the counselor, my role model. And no, it's not Prince. I'm going to put it out there. Even though, yes, people say, yeah, you look at Prince because of him being a multi-musician and this and that. That's good, but that's off. The real hero, the person I really wanted to be like, was not Prince. The person I really want to be like, now, of course, I know anybody can say, yeah, you need to be like Jesus. Yeah, that's fine and dandy, but we talking about someone physically. We talking about a physical being, someone that you can talk to. Yes, we all want to be like Jesus. We're a Christian. Yes, we're supposed to. But God put people here on earth for you to be able to talk to, lean on, and, hey, look at acting an example. And I can honestly say I had an example, and I have an example. And that man is my daddy, Reverend Charles Prater Sr. My daddy. My dad blessed me today. He came over to our church and heard me speak. And look here, to see my dad come through the doors, I was like, wow. I've had many people come and visit throughout the years, but my daddy. Yeah, those that know me, those that really know me, yeah, I'm a daddy's boy. I was the kid that was like Opie from the Andy Griffin Show. Or I was like Mark from the Rifleman. Yeah. How they look at their father, that's how I looked at my father. I respected my dad. I reverenced my dad. Why? Because he was someone that was, to me, the ideal man, the model man in my eyes. He was the strongest, the wisest man I've ever known to meet. And I would see how other people, they would talk about their fathers. They would talk about that their father would rule with an iron fist. Their father was disconnected emotionally. Their father was, you know, someone that, you know, they feared. They couldn't talk to. But that wasn't my dad. And so when I would hear other people, they talk about their father, and I always thought that everybody's father was like my father. My father, look, he built a house at 13 or 14 years old in Mississippi, and it's still standing, and he's 79 years old. My daddy started working on cars when he was 6 years old. He started driving when he was 9 years old. My dad can do any and everything. My dad could multitask. My dad was not a jack of all trades, but a master of all trades and a jack of none. My dad was so gifted. And for me to be able to talk to my father, it was like I was able to give an interview to my dad. And my dad told me that, but first I got to say this. First thing in me examining my dad, I asked God what type of spiritual traits my dad has. And so when I began to start talking to my dad, he always said that he thought everybody could do exactly what he did. But also he said he believed whatever God gave him the opportunity to do, he felt like God gave him the strength and the ability to do it. Whatever came in his path, he felt like he could do any and everything with the help of God. And so what I saw, God showed me that one of my father's spiritual gifts was the gift of faith. He was able to do any and everything. The other thing that I saw, my dad had the spiritual gift called the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom. Those that know my father can tell you that my dad, although in his eyesight, he looked at himself as a failure because he only had a sixth grade education. Back in the day in Mississippi, after the sixth grade, he ended up working with his grandmama, a forest grandmama. He lived with his grandmama, and his uncles and aunts were more like his brothers and sisters. But my dad, looking at the ability to do whatever his hands was placed upon, he was able to do it and fix it. And so when I was talking to my dad, he always talked about how he wanted a higher education. He wanted to have the education where he could be able to be proud of himself and to contribute more to the family as well as society. My dad actually was the third oldest. I found out last week my dad was the third oldest grandchild to our grandmother, to his grandmother. But then also he's the elder child to my grandmother, which is his mother. But also, for my dad to have so much love, so much compassion, so much grace, so much humor. And get this, my dad never cursed. My dad never said a cuss word in his life. I was like, wow. Now, when I began to look at my daddy, with all the love he has now, and when I can see it as an adult, as well as looking back over my years, seeing my dad from my earliest memories up until now, to see my dad, he was always constant with love, with patience, forgiveness, communication, never really fuss, raise his voice. There were some times that he would get upset, but he never stepped outside of his character. And so with all that love, all that exuberant affection that my dad would display, you would think that he grew up with that from his father. But their answer is no. My dad was not owned by his father. My dad was not acknowledged by his own father. My dad, I'm going to close this up right quick. My dad was not owned, was not respected by his father. My father, I was like, but granddaddy? Granny didn't acknowledge daddy? Wow. Yeah, he didn't acknowledge him. I remember growing up, I would hear my daddy would say he only received 5 cents from his father. From the time that he was small up until the time he was an adult, he only received 5 cents, one nickel. But he had a lot of love from his mom's side, my grandmother, his grandmother, his grandparents, and also his uncles and aunts. And so seeing all of that, I was like, wow. And so on my mother's side, my maternal grandfather, he passed away before I was born. And so as far as a grandfather, I never really called someone grandfather. But back in 82, if I'm not mistaken, 82, 83, my dad had a conversation with us. Now, of course, it was 5 kids in his house. But because me and my sister were the closest two, and we were the one that were always around my dad, I'm gonna just say, you know, me and Sheila. Of course, like I said, we all have the same fathers that grew up in the house and all that stuff. But I'm going to bring this up. To find out, as my daddy being an adult with kids, with a made family, he has his own family. Find out back in when my daddy was 33 years old, so that means I was about 6, maybe 7 years old, to hear my daddy say, we're going to have a visitor somebody coming to town to see us. And we like, who? Who? He said, your granddaddy. Huh? Our granddaddy? Your daddy? Yes. His father reached out to him to want to meet him. And I was alive to meet my granddaddy when my daddy met his daddy. And there are some pictures, if I had a thought about it, I could have put them all together and make a tribute or whatever. But, you know, just to see that my daddy is finna be able to receive something that I've always had, and that's a relationship with his father. See, my daddy did not have what I had. I had a relationship with my father, but he didn't have a relationship with his father. And so now my daddy finna receive something that I have, if you want to say, taken for granted, a relationship with my dad, to know my dad. Now my dad is finna to be introduced to his dad. And so I'm like, wow, that's something else. So he came, and his wife, for us to be able to meet him, take some pictures, and just enjoy the fellowship and time. I was like, wow, I'm meeting him, and my dad, I'm seeing my dad being the kid all over again. And those that know my dad's strong as an ox. My dad used to flex his arms, and he would have me and Sheila right here holding on for dear life as he's doing this. And he had both of us at the same time. And so for my dad to meet him, to see him, and for us to be able to have the weekend with him, and for him to come to church with us, that was a remarkable thing. And it looks like it was going to be the beginning of something beautiful. But then, unfortunately, as we begin to start looking, unfortunately, I want to make sure this is on. What happened? Well, we end up getting a conversation, end up getting an invite that now daddy is being invited. Our daddy and the family is being invited to New Orleans to go see our grandfather. He came over to our place. Now we're finna go to his place. And so this was back in the 80s before GPS and Google Maps. We got the map, and we would trace it. We were trying to find out where the house was. And I remember we stopped in the middle of the street to ask someone where the street was, and they helped us to find it. And that Sunday, we went over and found that house, drove up in the driveway, and my daddy got out to knock on the door, asked the kids, and my mom was in the van. My dad began to knock. And as my dad began to knock, he knocked again. And my dad knocked again. And my dad knocked again. Until finally we realized nobody was getting out of the house. Come to find out, it was an abandoned house. There was no one that was living there. My dad received a wrong address. My dad received the wrong address from his father. And that was the last time when my dad's father came to our house. That was one of the few times my dad laid eyes on him. And so for my dad to be excited to have everything built up for us to travel out there to knock on that door and to not be surprised to see our grandfather, but be surprised that there was no one there. It was an abandoned house. Imagine the hurt and the disappointment that my dad had to come back to the car to find out nobody lives here. I remember that conversation. I remember that. And, yeah, my daddy used to fix everything. Our daddy was invincible. Our daddy, we would tell our dad about our problems and he would fix it. Even fixing everything known to man. But this right here was something my daddy couldn't fix. My dad couldn't fix his father's decision. No one knows why. Even to this day, that's been almost 40 years. We never got the question. We never got our question answered as to why we were stood up. But just to see the disappointment in my dad's eyes, I had to tell my dad. And matter of fact, as a kid, I was thinking, because my daddy was such a great man, my dad must have came from a great man. And this is not to knock my grandfather or anything like that, but I'm setting the scene to let you know that sometimes great men does not come from great situations. Sometimes great men come from adversity. Sometimes in spite of the situation, it still produces greatness. And so seeing that my dad was once again disappointed, abandoned, one of the things I saw how my dad had responded to it, even though he did not receive that embrace like he was looking for, but he was able to embrace who he produced. He was unable to embrace who he came from, but he was able to embrace who he produced. And my dad embraced us like never before. My dad, now growing up, my dad really wasn't a hugger. He was a handshaker. My daddy had such an anointed handshake. My daddy was gifted in encouragement. My dad was an encourager and is an encourager. And so throughout the years, to see my dad be able to impart to so many people and to have educated people, scholars, come to him for advice. To see my dad make any and everything. My daddy, look here, my daddy has given birth to goats. My daddy has helped bring goats to life. My daddy can do any and everything. And so when people ask me why I do what I do, because the model and the example I had, and my father being my example, where you can do whatever you put your mind to if you first put God first and consult with him and allow him to give you the instructions or to navigate you in the things that need to be done. I've seen my daddy look focused. I've seen my dad. And so one of the things I was able to do, and I'm kind of skipping over some things because I wanted to share some things with y'all. One of the important things I was able to do in the midst of growing up, I had this to happen a few years ago. Might have been last year, year before last. My daddy, as I was looking at him, I often think about receiving my dad's blessing, getting my dad's approval. And so what I did, I was talking to my stepmom, and I told her, I said, Daddy is a wise man. I said, I know part of his gifts, it's part of his spiritual gift of faith, word of wisdom, all these, you know, encourager, all these things. I said, not only do I want to receive my dad's blessing, but I thought about it even in the biblical time, and I also heard my cousin told me after I did what I did, my cousin told me that he had done the same thing with his father and his brothers. What I did, I spoke to my daddy and I spoke to my stepmom, and I told them, the next time I come over there, I want my dad to lay hands on me to pray for me for wisdom, for insight. And so when I went over there, I had my daddy to pray for me. I had my daddy to lay his hands on me, to impart into me, to give me, and I want his approval. I want his endorsement. When it came down to making the decisions in life, but also not just being a man, but being a father. I want to be the kind of father that my father is to his son or to his children. I want to be the father where I could be able to look at a situation, assess the situation, and not allow it to consume me. I want to be the type of father that my father is where I could be able to say, you know what? It's going to be all right. I remember years ago, this was back in the 80s when they were talking about the Gulf War and all that stuff. And I was just so scared. And I called my daddy. And he said, I believe it was the Persian Gulf War. It was something. It was back in, let's just say, 83, 84, one or the other. I remember talking to my daddy, and I was scared. And those that knew me, I did not like to sleep at night. I couldn't sleep at night. I always had to wait after 12 o'clock because I was so scared. I was fearful to sleep. And daddy said, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. And he began to start sharing some things with me, and it was like he lifted the weight. He lifted the burden. And then when daddy came to the house, man, I said, I want to be looked upon like that, like how I look to my dad. I want to live a life where if I have children, I want my children to be proud of me. I want my family to look up to me. And so now, me being a father myself, especially of an 18-year-old now that just freshly graduated high school, I see everything that my dad have gone through with his children. And I told my daddy, if I was half a man as you are, I'll be all right. If I was half the father that you are, I feel like I'll be awesome. And so now, for me to be able to look at my life and see where my dad was when he was my age, and now I'm able to see my dad, and thank God, I want to say a special thankfulness to my stepmom, Emily Prater. She has taken care of my dad, taken care of our family. She has shown so much love and grace, and especially some of the situations I've dealt with where I end up having to talk to her, and she always spoke with grace, always spoke with prayer. So even though this is Father's Day, but I want to thank you for taking care of not just your husband, but taking care of my father, my daddy, Sheila's daddy. Matter of fact, Jerry, Ronnie, Walter, you know, taking care of all of us. I was laughing because when I said me and Sheila used to always say, well, one person would say, our father, and then the other say, we're God in heaven. You know, so we would say that, so that's why I said me and Sheila, father. But, you know, just looking at it, you know, my dad, you know, having four boys and one girl in the house. Of course, Sheila being the only girl, yeah, no big deal. But daddy didn't show any partiality. But he always wanted to make sure that we loved and respected each other. And like I said, because me and Sheila were always together, we were always going to the backyard while daddy was working on a car, working on a truck or something. And for us to be able to just have that time with our daddy. And then on Sundays, we would get out of church, we would go on the couch and sit down with our daddy as he's watching Gunsmoke, The Rifleman, Bonanza, The Big Valley, all these Western shows. And we would talk to our daddy during the commercial, but then when the show come on, what we do? We just watch with our daddy. And it was a beautiful thing, not because the show was good, but because our company was good, our daddy. And the main movie that I used to always talk about, I don't even know if that's the name of it, but the part of it said at the end, Shane, Shane, come back, Shane. What's so special about that? Because he was just saying that Daddy loved that part. And it didn't matter how many times our father watched something, he'll watch over again. Why? Because he enjoyed his company. We were his company. You know, and my dad, we might have gotten in trouble, but the most important thing Daddy would do was try to make us understand what's right from wrong. And there are times where Daddy would talk to us. Daddy wanted to talk to us. We were like, just going to whoop us, because his conversation was brutal. He would look at us and say, now, why did you do that? I don't know. You know, you're not supposed to do that. You know, that's not right. Mama, okay. That was our daddy. And so, you know, just talking about him, and like I said, I wanted to bring up about the kind of father that I have and how much I appreciate him. And like I said, when people see me, when people see the things and the gifts that God has allowed me to do, the things God allowed me to do, it's because of my daddy. My daddy never made me feel fearful of trying. God has blessed me to be able to even do something I didn't even think I was going to be able to do. Be on here on live national streaming, talk to a lot of people, talking to people, sharing my heart, being transparent, all these things. If somebody told me 10 years ago I'd be able to do this, I'd be like, I don't know. Why? Because I'm not the talker in the family. But I'm telling you, when God invests into you and God allows you to stir up the gift, you'd be surprised what you're able to do. And I learned that from my daddy. Matter of fact, one time, even just telling y'all this story, I can tell y'all some stories. I played the trombone in elementary school, but I was so shy. I didn't want to practice in front of anyone. I used to always play the trombone with my back towards the door in case somebody walk into my bedroom. I could stop because I didn't want them to see me play. I didn't want them to hear me play. And so one time I was playing, and one time I was supposed to be playing, and I was supposed to be having this, you know, rehearsal or whatever, recital, and I had to practice. I did not want to practice. So I had to practice in my bedroom, and at the time, like I said, four boys, one girl, but my little brother, Walter, he was small, so let's just say my two older brothers and my sister. And it was in the wintertime, and my dad was in the backyard putting asphalt in the backyard. So I'm up here practicing on the trombone. And so they telling me, oh, boy, you need to stop. You sound horrible and all this and all that. So I put it up. And so Daddy came from the backyard to come inside the house, and he found out I stopped playing my trombone because my brothers and sister were saying I need to stop because I was sounding horrible. And my daddy said, look here. He said, he's going to practice in this house, and if y'all don't like it, y'all can come out here in the backyard and wait in this cold at night while he practices. Well, guess what? Jerry, Ronnie, and Sheila went to the backyard in the winter while my dad was putting down asphalt so they wouldn't have to be in the house as I was practicing. So now I'm practicing, and I'm thinking about, no offense, I'm not thinking about Jerry and Ronnie. I'm thinking about my sister in the backyard while it's like she protesting, all of them protesting. And I practiced a little bit, and I went on outside to be with them, to tell them, hey, y'all can come on in. I'll practice outside. But my daddy, he was like, I don't care. Let him play. He sounds good to me. I actually started playing the trombone because I wanted to play the saxophone because my daddy loved the sax. He loved hearing the saxophone. And so because I had to pay for a saxophone through the school, they said that, well, you have to pay for your own, but we'll furnish a trombone. The trombone the school will provide for free. So I said, well, you know what? I'll do the trombone. And I did that because I wanted to please my dad. Well, now me being able to play a couple of instruments, matter of fact, this was not playing, but this is my guitar right here. I wasn't paying attention. But, yeah, me having my guitar and playing the drums and everything, my dad, I credit God, I credit my dad. And so with that being said, I thank God for my dad, and I want to make sure that he gets a chance to see this video because I want to give him his flowers while not only he's here, but he can respond to it. And so on behalf of, you know, your kids, myself, and the grandkids, Daddy, thank you. Job well done. I am a proud son of Reverend Charles Prater. I'm very proud. Matter of fact, my daddy used to always say, because as good as a man my dad is, he had enemies. And I didn't know, no matter how good you treat somebody, there's somebody that's just not going to like you because of who you are. I didn't know that. But my daddy, as good of a man he is, as straight, as honest as my dad is, he would have people to try to misuse him or whatever. But he always say, you kill them with kindness. We're like, what? No. Let's forget about with kindness, you know. But he said, no. You do the right thing. No matter what somebody does, you do the right thing. When you do the right thing, you're giving God access to come in and fight on your behalf. But if you try to take matters into your own hands, you prevent God from coming in and intervening for you. And then if they in the wrong and you operating wrong, then God gonna get both of y'all. But if you do what's right, then God deals with them, not with you. And those are some life lessons that my dad was sharing with me. Even pertaining to, like I said, those that know me, I don't sugarcoat anything. Anybody want to know something, I'll tell you. But even the things that I face currently, yeah, I share some things with my dad, and I'm not going to bite my tongue. But I found out, yeah, everything going to be all right. Why? Because daddy told me it was going to be all right if I let God come in and handle that situation. But also, I got to take proper steps to make sure that I do my part, not just giving it to God, but also give it to those in authority. Because some people, well, I'm not going to do anything. No. You have to stand up for what's right. And sometimes it's standing up for what's right. Sometimes it may mean that you have to, hey, make a few phone calls. Hey, you got to go through the chain of command. You got to put people in authority on notice when things are not right, when there is some injustice. Yeah. And yes, that's what we as believers are supposed to do. Believers ain't cowards. Believers ain't passive. Believers ain't weak. Yeah, meekness and weakness are two different things. And so some nuggets that my dad would tell me about being able to even how to deal with your enemies, how to deal with those that mean you no good, but you still do them good. My dad would say, even when it pertains to having some money, he would always say, save a dry stick for a wet day. In other words, don't spend all that you have because you might need some later on, especially you being a father and you having kids, you have responsibility. You got to look beyond today. You got to look beyond tomorrow. You got to look beyond yourself. Because if you as a leader become selfish, then it prevents you for you to be able to have a selfless result. So God wants us to be able, as men, let's get our families back. When I mean getting your family back, we're not just talking about words. No, we're talking about actions, by lifestyle, being an example. We as men got to be an example because our families are dependent upon us. The men need to stand up and respect our young ladies. We need to show chivalry to our young ladies. God has blessed us as men with the gift of a lady, but instead of us looking at them as a gift, we treated them like a curse. And we wonder why we don't have the results that we're looking for. How in the world are we going to ask them to love us and respect us, but we're spewing venom to them? We're hurting. We're misusing God's gift to men, a young lady. We have disrespected our helpmate. We have abandoned our responsibilities as leaders in the home. And God has put us as men supposed to be the spiritual leaders where we could be able to provide, we could be able to minister to our family. But when we see that the mother has to do the role of nurturing and being the covering, the spiritual covering of her, it's out of order. It's our responsibility, and God wants us to get our rightful position so we can help our families and be functioning in our families so that way the family could be relieved. We got to get our families back. This Father's Day should be the day where we should be committed, to be committed to God and committed to our family and to our children. Yeah. You know, you might not be with the children's mother, but you will always have your kids. And you have to make sure that you respect your kids. And I got to say this, even if you're in an uncomfortable situation with your children's mother or your children's father pertaining to co-parenting, I want to bid you with this. You cannot respect, you might not even like to deal with, you may not even like to deal with your ex. That's okay. Even if you don't deal with your ex, that's cool. But you still got to respect your son's mother, your daughter's mother, or vice versa. You still have to respect your son or daughter's father. I want you to think about that. Think about who they are to your kids versus who they were to you. Yeah, and I know, but look. Don't worry about their actions. We just be prayerful about our reaction. I'm going to say it like this. Even if they're acting a fool, you don't respond that way. You do the right thing. I want to challenge you. Yeah, and also even talk to the men. Yeah, there are some men I know that the baby mama has thrown them in jail. The baby mama is trying to use the child as ransom. Where if you don't pay no money, you ain't gonna see your kids. You a fool for doing that. If there's any women that's out there that's doing that, you a fool. Yes, I said it. If there are some men that's doing that, you a fool for doing that. You dangling your child like they a carrot. And you're preventing your child from dealing with their mother. You're preventing their child from dealing with their father. I want the men, just in case you're those who are in that situation, find out your legal rights. Just in case there are some mothers. But like I said, we're going to use it as Father's Day. Just whoever it is, if you have that type of treatment, you take legal actions. Now, also, I'm going to say this. Quit waiting for somebody to do research for you. You do research for yourself. You get legal action. You get legal action because that's your child. That's your child. Well, you know, you don't understand. Now, if it's where the child is being harmed or whatever, that's one thing. Yeah. You got to look up for the best interest of the child. But I'm talking about when people dealing with bitterness. That's what I'm talking about. So when it pertains to violence, threats, and all that stuff, no. We don't tolerate that. But when it comes down because you upset because he was a poor husband or she was a poor wife and all this stuff, no, look here, grow up. Look here. They might have been a terrible spouse. They might have been a terrible mate. But they may be a great child, a great father. They may be a great parent. You got to think about that. Think about for the best interest of the child. That's what we got to think. We ain't talking about for the best interest of you. We talking about for the best interest of the child. Like I said, now if their parent did not threaten or did not, well, you know, you just he got an attitude. Okay, well, if somebody playing with my child, I would have an attitude too. If people doing to me, if people doing to me, or if I'm doing to you what people doing to me, yeah, you would have an attitude too. So what we got to understand that the child needs both parents. And like I said, that's in a healthy situation. In a healthy situation. If it's not healthy, hey, take legal action. You got to take legal action. But if it's in a healthy situation, what's the problem? What's the problem? Like I said, I can go on. And matter of fact, I don't mind talking about it because this is my show. I want to tell you about it because the main thing I want to see healing. I want to see healing for the family. We got to see healing for the family. We got to see healing for the child. The child did not ask to be in that situation. So what are we going to do about it? We got to think about more than ourselves. We got to think about, well, you know, no. For the best interest of the child. The court's going to always try to figure out what's the best interest for the child. And that's what you got to think about. And so when it boils down to it, I want each and every one of us to be able to just have that conversation with God and just be real and transparent. For us to realize, you know what? God is here to help us, and he want to help us. But are we going to allow him? Are we going to allow him to come in and intervene in this situation? So us as men, there's work to be done. We got to get our families back. And yes, like I said, there are some situations that happen where the parents aren't together. But that doesn't mean that they can't co-parent properly. You got to ask God to take the bitterness out of that situation. All the manipulation, all the games, all that stuff, that's uncalled for. Especially though that's supposed to be believers. Oh, come on now. Why are you operating in witchcraft? That's witchcraft. All the manipulation and mind games you're trying to control. Now, why do that? Why do that? You didn't do that to lay them in the bed. You didn't do that to, you know, have sex with them, talk to them about their clothes. So why are you going, well, you know, I'm just going to do, no. I'm going to say this. When it comes down to legally, the father had just as much rights as the mother. I'm going to say this again. The father had just as much rights as the mother and vice versa. You know, but you got to make sure as men, you got to make sure, look here, you can't be, quote unquote, trying to go to court and plead your case with dirt under your nails. What I mean is, you talking about you want your child and you know, you can raise your child, you can do this, do that, but then they arrested you the week before for DWI. When you got pulled over, the cop had you let down your window and it was so much smoke, people thought that you was on a Snoop Dogg commercial. Come on now. What kind of example? You got to set an example. Men, we got to set an example for our children. One of the things I always say, as men, we're trying to show our boys what a man is. But we're trying to show our girls what type of man she need. We're trying to show these young ladies, we're trying to show our daughters what type of man that she should be looking for in her life. One of the things I always challenge the men, if your daughter came home with a man just like you wanted to marry, would you be happy with the choice that she's making as a spouse? We got to think about that. Yeah, we got to set, we got to raise the bar. We got to raise the standard. Yeah. So, and I know sometimes some people, I know they get upset with me. Well, you act like everything perfect. It can be. The Bible tells us we can do all things through Christ, who strengthens us, who empowers us. Also, that verse that said, be perfect, I am perfect, that doesn't mean flawless. You know what that means? That phrase, that word perfect in that context simply means maturity. That's what it means. When you know right, do right. Okay, yeah, you made some mistakes in the past, but yes, but did you learn from your mistakes? Think about that. Maturity. Mature. Are you willing to acknowledge, you know what? I messed up, but I'm going to clean up what I messed up. Yeah, I did. I may not have gotten it right. Like I said, being a parent, they're not coming with a blueprint. No. It doesn't come with a blueprint. But it comes with prayer. We have the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost living in us for us to be able to listen, to navigate, to be led. We can do that. So we can't do it alone. We got to have God to guide us and lead us. But also, just like my dad, yeah, my dad did not have the best situation, the best example as a father either. But he has some great examples through his uncles. One of his uncles, Uncle Cleve, one of his favorite uncles, Uncle Cleve, he loved dearly. Matter of fact, my daddy looked just like him. Another one, Uncle Charles. All these, he had examples. So I'm telling you, God will place you with people that you can emulate even if you did not have the proper example in your life. You may not have had a great biological father, but God will insert a spiritual father that will help you along the way. If the Bible tells us, if you acknowledge him in all your way, he shall direct thy path or make thy pathway straight. So as you obey God, he's directing, he's navigating you to someone that's going to fill the void of the absentee person in your life. I'm telling you from firsthand experience. Everything that I have lost, everything that seemed like that was taken from me, but because of me obeying God and listening to what God telling me and praying and keep myself upright and forgiving, not just asking God for forgiveness and repenting, but also even to forgive others who done me wrong. Yeah, I'm too busy of a person to think about foolishness. I'm telling you from firsthand experience. Because I found out that God is trying so badly to help you complete the assignment. God is trying to help you to get to the purpose and plan he has for you. But the devil is trying so badly to make you think about the hurt, how somebody treated you, what somebody doing, all of that. Look here. Like I said, my daddy always say, that ain't even on my little mind. You can't be thinking about that because that's a distraction to make you miss the assignment, the purpose, the leading that God's trying to guide you to. I'm telling you from firsthand experience, this is a spiritual matter. The Bible tells us that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. So understand this spiritual matter, the devil trying to deal with your emotions to make you be a father that's inactive, be a mother that's inactive, be a father or a mother that's distracted. You up here supposed to be going yonder, and you up here thinking about this. You're here, you everywhere, you're more. No. God is trying to give you stability right now. God trying to remove every hurt, every resentment, every misunderstanding. He want to bring healing to you right now. And that's what I want to tell you. That's who I want to introduce you to, Jesus Christ, that can help you and heal you in every situation of your life. And so as we get ready to pray, I want you to think about, number one, just in case you did not have the type of father that would be a great example, you know what? Still forgive him. Pray for him. What I found out, yeah, let's just say, now, there might have been some times that, you know, my dad and I had to have some tough conversations. But one thing God began to deal with me about, I had to look at, like I said earlier, I got something that he didn't have. I have a relationship with my dad. He doesn't. So asking God to help me as a son, for me to be able to minister to my dad, so that way I can better understand as well as also bring healing to my dad, because he might be a hurt son, but I might be a helped son. So if this helped son can help that hurt son that's happen to be a hurt father, then maybe God is using me for me to be able to medicate someone that I came from. I want you to think about that. I'm going to say it again. When I think about my dad and begin to see the glimpse of the life that I know that he's had, what if God allowed me to witness it so that way I know how to direct my prayers to someone that I love and someone that loves me back? What about you as son? Can you pray for your dad? He may not be in there. Pray for him. He may not be able to have that communication that you have. You may not have that communication with him, or he may not be able to have that communication with you. He may not be able to have that communication with you like you have with him. Are you willing to pray for him? Can you pray for him? To that daughter, you know what? Maybe daddy wasn't there. Maybe you don't understand why daddy acted the way he did. Can you pray for him? Maybe daddy did wrong. Maybe daddy got it wrong. But can you pray for him? So that way you can be right. That doesn't mean that daddy may be right. Who knows? God's not going to go against his will. If he want to help, hey, God give it to him. But what if this will help you to be able to be helped, be healed, become whole? But also, I have to bring this up. There are those that are right now, that are children that are right now grieving because they no longer have their father in their life. Their father may have transcended from time to eternity. I want to pray for you. There are some friends, there are some family members that I've known personally. They have lost, you know, their fathers, my relatives, my uncles, my cousins, and great men, you know, my uncle Red, Vinnie Logan, great man, loved dearly. My cousin, Jerry Hutchins, you know, Some more. I have so many that they have lost their fathers, you know, and it hurts. It hurts when I see other people hurt. Miss Shears, you know, man, it's and not just recently, but you know, just even if you look at within the past 5 years, 10 years, so many people that we've lost. If you have your father with you, thank God. But also for us to pray for them who do not have their father right now, because to be honest with you, you know, yeah, we can pray for them. We got to pray for their strength. But also we got to be able to network them, help them, to encourage them, even to be there for them, to reflect on the good times. for us to think about the silly moments, for us to think about the times where they may have said something that really stuck in our hearts. Help us to be able to let their legacy continue. You know, when they transcend, they left us the baton. What are we going to do with that baton? Are we going to do just like what they did so that way we can have people to look up to us as we looked up to them? Are we willing to do that? That's what we have to do. So as we get ready to pray, we want us to give everything up. We have a reason to pray. We have a reason for to ask God to help us. There is a reason. And so we have to do that. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. We thank you, Lord, for your awesomeness. We come to you right now, God, we acknowledge your presence on today. So, God, we come to you right now, God. We thank you, Lord, for the fathers, God. Ask you, God, right now, God, to minister to them right now, God. God, we ask you, Lord, for those who may be fathers who may not have had it right or got it right, God. God, we ask you to forgive them, God, and help us, God, to forgive them, God. And God, help them, God, as fathers, God, to forgive themselves right now. God, we ask you, Lord, to help them right now, God, to make peace with the past right now, God. If there's any hurt, if there's any resentment, help them, God, to give it all over to you right now, God, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, I thank you right now, God, for helping the fathers, God. Lord, even for my own father, thank you, Lord, for raising him up and healing his body, God. God, I thank you, Lord, even for the fathers, God, where they may not look like what they've been through. So, God, we thank you, Lord, for your covering, your shield, your protection right now, God, over them right now, God. God, we ask you to help them right now, God, for them to be able to continue the legacy, God, for them, God, to continue to impart it to us right now, God, for us to be able to even give honor and tribute to them right now, God. Respect them, God, and honor them and obey them, God. And so, God, we ask you, God, not only praying for the fathers, but God, also even praying, God, because we are fathers. God, we thank you, Lord, for our children, God. Thank you, Lord, even for my son, God. Thank you right now, God, how you raised him. You're protecting him, God. You're ministering to him, God. And so, God, I ask you, God, help us as men, God, to be that example, not just with our words, but, Lord, with our lifestyle, God. Help us, God, to be that example right now, God, that's pleasing to you, God, and the children can see our lives that they want to be like you. So, God, we ask you to help us, God, to live that life right now, God. God, we thank you right now, God, for everything you've done, God, but most importantly, everything that you are. And, Lord, I ask, Lord, for those who are grieving right now, God, comfort them right now, God. Be with them right now, God. Help them to understand that you said in your word that you would never leave nor forsake us, God. You would never abandon us. So, God, we ask, Lord, to help us right now, God, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, I thank you right now, God, for your comfort, God. Thank you, Lord, for helping us, God, even during the grieving process, God. Thank you, Lord, for the help that you've provided right now, God. And I thank you, Lord, for everything you've done, but most importantly, everything that you are. In Jesus' name we pray. We say amen, amen, amen. Thank each and every one of y'all for tuning in. If you want to get in contact with me, you're welcome to. My name is Brother Prater. I'm on Facebook and, of course, YouTube, too. And you can reach out to me, and I'm always accessible. And so I want to thank each and every one of y'all for tuning in. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to Reconnect My Heart podcast. God bless you. Good night. But also, don't forget, happy Father's Day. Fathers, keep up the good work. We love you. We appreciate you. We need you. And like I say earlier today, we're not going to just use this phrase with WWE Roman Reigns. We're going to say the bloodline, this is the real bloodline. We acknowledge you. God bless you and good night.